This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
Did the Cowboys just do Dak dirty? The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Hey, L.A., play-by-play voice of the Lakers, longtime radio legend in Los Angeles, the great John Ireland is about to drop by. Hit me 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Dak Prescott was not included in the Cowboys' 2001 season hype video. The team's senior director of media and programming said, "Trust me, there's no story here." Well, you know, I wasn't going to trust him, but then he said, "Trust me." So I was gonna be very cynical about the idea that there's no story here. But once a fella says, "Trust me," I think you got to just be credulous. So, all right, no story here. Raj, this is going to be kind of a boring segment, but the senior director of media and programming for the Cowboys said, trust him, there's no story here. Right. The Cowboys make a hype video, don't include the starting quarterback, who, by the way, had a protracted contract negotiation in the last year, who turned down an offer to make over $100 million, who then got hurt and is now one of the quarterbacks in the NFL, I would imagine, about whom the following applies. Adam Schefter said last week that the over-under on number of quarterbacks to switch teams this season is 18. 18 out of 32 teams. 18 teams going to have a new quarterback. I'm going to go ahead and say Dak Prescott may be one of those. By the way, Schefter took the over. So 19, at least. Look, I understand the Cowboys' point of view here. I get it. I do. The fact of the matter is, Dak Prescott came in the same quarterback class as Jared Goff and Carson Wentz. Goff went one overall, Wentz went two overall, and Dak was taken in the fourth round. Goff and Wentz got paid millions right away, and Dak had to work his way up. Goff and Wentz got franchise quarterback contracts earlier than Dak. And Dak, the most he's ever made in a season before he was franchised, was $2 million. I mean, it's a lot of money, but not by the standards of star NFL quarterbacks. And Dak's a star. He's a B-plus at least, and the trajectory is upward. So Dak wants to get paid, obviously. Now, let me ask you something. The contract that they gave Jared Goff in L.A., did that work out, or do you think the Rams regretted it? I'm going to go ahead and say the Rams regretted it. They'd already made a Super Bowl. They didn't need to give Goff that deal. Now they have to take a cap hit and trade two firsts and a third to get out of the deal? Carson Wentz, you know the cap hit the Eagles are about to take? You think if they did want to trade Wentz and he didn't have the contract yet, do you think they would get more or less? They would certainly get more for him. And the Cowboys, had they given Dak the money, would have regretted it, like, on day two, because Dak promptly got hurt. Right? So if you're going to give Dak a contract where the average annual value, let's say, is $35 million a year, and he doesn't play the first year of the contract, now the average annual value is more like $50 a year, right? $45 to $50 a year. They would have regretted that. And they got to look at Goff and Wentz and think, damn, the Rams and the Eagles, they're in a tough spot because the Rams already traded Goff. They took a hit. Eagles are going to trade Wentz. They're going to take a hit. Do we need to take a hit right now? Maybe we just trade them and not take a hit. Yeah, no, there's no story here unless you think that maybe the Cowboys trading Dak Prescott is a story. You talk to the Cowboys who put out that statement. Trust me, there's no story here. Oh, wait, you thought Dak being traded was a story? Oh, okay. Well, then there was a story. I didn't think you would think that's a story. By the way, I brought up Carson Wentz. This is Sal Palantonio, who, by the way, whose book, How Football Explains America, I highly recommend. There was a very famous book called How Soccer Explains the World. And Sal Palantonio basically had a response to that book called How Football Explains America. It is a very interesting book, an easy read. And listen, I know I'm talking to sports fans. Guys, it's a short book. Don't worry about it. Short book. Sal keeps it simple for you. And it's great. You should pick it up. How Football Explains America. Anyway, here's Sal Pal, ESPN NFL reporter, of course, on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin in the Morning about the Carson Wentz potential deal.
I think it's going to be tough to put that proverbial toothpaste back in the tube. I think there's too much that he has to repair, Carson Wentz, in his own locker room and with the body politic, as I like to call it, in Philadelphia, in the city that likes to shove you back. So it's going to be really difficult to put it all back together in Philly for Carson Wentz. That's why I think they're desperate to get him out of town. If Howie Roseman can get a first-round pick for Carson Wentz, and color me skeptical on that right now because I'm not sure that's going to happen, or else it would have happened already. But if he can get one from the Bears or the Colts, the 20th pick or the 21st they think they have, if he can get that, hey, get him in the limousine and take him to the airport and get yourself a first-round pick.
You know, I that's how I felt too. A first-round pick? I thought you'd have to give up a first-round pick to get rid of Wentz's contract. Wentz isn't good. By the way, Wentz was no good, not this past year, but the season before, when everyone was saying he's in the MVP conversation. He was falling apart in the second half of that season. I chronicled the whole thing for you on First Take, and everyone was telling me I didn't know what I was looking at. In fact, he's doing great, and then what happened? No, Wentz was getting worse and worse and worse. Now, Adam Schefter, on the other hand, said last week that Carson Wentz may fetch that. Now, if Carson Wentz, if any team is dumb enough to give up a first round, like Carson Wentz's contract is such an albatross for any team, and Carson Wentz has regressed to the point that any team that doesn't get draft compensation for taking Wentz's contract is nuts. If I'm the Eagles and I can get rid of Wentz and I didn't have to give up any draft capital, I'm like, oh my God, look at me, I'm a genius. If they get a first rounder for Wentz, listen to this. Listen to this. The Philadelphia Eagles asking price is reportedly viewed as, here's a quote by a rival NFL front office, okay? By rival NFL front offices. It's a compilation of quotes. It's viewed as, quote, ridiculous, laughable, and not worth countering. Ridiculous, laughable, and not worth countering. Now, if Schefter is speculating they can get it, he ain't getting that from the ether. He's talking to a lot of people. That's informed speculation. But I would be, if that's, and I wouldn't doubt, you know, his view of what's happening. But I'm here to tell you, I will laugh so hard at any team that gives up draft capital, especially in the first round. By the way, in the first two rounds, for Carson Wentz, that's truly hilarious. They Got Their Ring is brought to you by Macy's. And let me just say that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers win in this Super Bowl on Sunday put to bed, for many, the argument of GOAT. Not just presently, but going forward. Because the best argument for anyone is Patrick Mahomes. And Mahomes just lost to a 43-year-old Brady. I have a lot to tell you about that because it doesn't exactly work that way. But I will say this. The odds that Mahomes ever catches Brady, who now has 7, and especially has lost head-to-head, people won't remember all the details. They'll just know that he lost head-to-head. The odds that he ever catches Brady are long, but they're not impossible. Right now, John Ireland. Let me say his name correctly. I say names too fast. Max Kellerman, right? I can't say my own name. John Ireland, Lakers play-by-play voice, joins me on the Goodyear Hotline. Hey, John, how many rings does LeBron need to be considered the, you know, greater than Brady in his sport, do you think?
Wait, Max, it's a great question. I'll tell you this, and you and I have talked about this for a long time. I got to L.A. the year they put Shaq and Kobe together. So I saw that whole run. I covered Kobe's whole career. I got to see Michael Jordan. When I was a kid growing up, I got to see Kareem and Magic. I think you can make the argument, now that I've been doing LeBron's games for 2 years and change, that when he's done, he's going to go down as the greatest basketball player who ever lived. He's going to pass Jordan. He's going to pass Bill Russell. And I know that drives people crazy, but the numbers don't lie, Max. I mean, he's been to 10 finals. That means if you have LeBron, you have a 50% chance of going to the finals just based on that alone.
Yeah, like Brady, yeah.
And so it's an interesting comp, those two guys. You know, people ask me all the time, but what's more impressive, what Brady did or what LeBron's doing? I'm biased because I see every LeBron game, and I love what Brady's doing. But think about this, Max. Brady's now done it with two different teams. LeBron's done it with three.
Yeah,
nobody in any sport has ever done that, has ever been the
best
player.
Except for, like, Robert Horry, right, yeah, but he wasn't the best player on the team, yeah.
Right. So, he's not done yet. LeBron, like, I'll give you an example. Last night, I did a game where LeBron didn't have his three-pointer. He's been great from three this year. He's shooting 40% from three. And you look at his line at the end of the game, and he's got 28 points, 14 assists, 12 rebounds. I mean, the guy is, he's a one-man wrecking crew.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this. Longevity, in terms, if you just want to say greatness is the total value, like you're just weighing win shares or something, LeBron's already the greatest. But what I think of when I think of greatest, John, like, I take Michael Jordan. I believe from his third season, he was the best I've ever seen. Like, he was better than Magic and Bird at the time, and Bird copped to it right away. He's like, yeah, that dude's better than me. Even when he was winning MVPs, like,
right,
yeah, Jordan's
right.
better than me. But here's the thing about Jordan. Every time he had a single other All-Star on his team, he always won the finals in under seven games. Like, Pippen was an All-Star that first year that they went to they took the Pistons seven games when the Pistons were repeating as champs. But Pippen's migraine meant he scored 2 points in 40 minutes, so he wasn't an All-Star, in other words, anymore. And anyway, he had not yet reached his peak. He started peaking the following season. The only time after that Jordan played with an All-Star and didn't win the championship in under seven games was when he came back after all that time off, played 17 games, didn't have his basketball legs, lost to Shaq and Penny, came back the next year, now in basketball shape, swept them. And they won 60 that year. Jordan swept them. So, like, the difference, LeBron gets you closer to a championship by himself than anyone ever. But Jordan, if you give him something to work with, is just not going to lose. So I have Jordan 1. But I hear what you're saying.
I wouldn't argue with you. And a matter of fact, if you're making the argument that peak Jordan, Jordan at his height, was better than anyone ever, I don't even think LeBron would argue with you.
Right.
What my argument back would be, when LeBron's done, Max, he's going to be number one in points and top five in assists.
Mm-hmm.
So he makes everyone else better. You know, one thing about Michael was at times, probably for several years, not only the best offensive player in the league, he was the best defensive player in the league. But LeBron is the best passer for a Hall of Famer I think I've ever seen. The only guy I've ever seen that's in his class is Magic.
Yeah, Magic. Berg was a great passer too, but I got to say, I totally agree with that. And the other thing about LeBron became one of the greatest defenders of all time when you consider the versatility of his defense. Like, he did not defend at the level of Dennis Rodman or with the energy of Rodman, but it was sort of similar in the sense that he could guard any position. Like, now here's the question about Brady and LeBron, though. Because of Michael Jordan's existence, it's hard to be perceived as number one in basketball. So when you compare LeBron to Brady, you're comparing a guy who's really not considered number one in his own sport to another guy who plays the most popular sport in this country, football, and he is considered the GOAT. But, John, when I look at it, let's put it this way. Brady's real advantage comes with these flurry of championships he's won at a late age. Like, when I
at
made
the end
the
of
Cliff,
his career, right.
Yeah,
but LeBron's doing the same thing, Max.
I guess he's got to do it. But when I made the Cliff prediction, Brady had played 15 years, went to six finals, and won four. Since the Cliff prediction, in those last 5 years, he's been to four finals and won three.
I know.
So like.
Although,
LeBron's
Max, I feel bad for you.
Like,
I mean, right. I know you, so yeah. I tend to root for you. And when you made the Cliff prediction, I knew exactly what you were doing. You were basing it, you were doing an analytical argument. You were basing it on no one has ever gotten better at that point in their career.
Right.
And you could argue that Brady has. I don't know how he's done it, but he's gotten better and figured out a way to master the NFL at a ridiculous age. I would argue LeBron's doing the same thing. Max, I did this game last night. LeBron's 36, And at any given moment, if you and I had spent the last 5 years on Mars and we came down and we were watching this game together, we would have come to the conclusion after 5 minutes who the best, most athletic player on the court was.
Yeah.
And it's LeBron at age 36. He leads Max. There's no one in the NBA who's played more career minutes than LeBron. He's number one in career minutes right now. And still, he's the best player on the court. It's what these two guys are doing is unbelievable.
You know, it's crazy. And by the way, I agree. What I was going to say about the flurry at the end, LeBron, in order, I think, to catch Brady, has to have a Brady late years kind of sprint. The way, like, Brady in 5 years added so much to his legacy with four trips to the finals and three championships. LeBron's going to have to do the same sort of thing, and maybe he's in the process of doing it. Like, he should repeat this year and win his sixth. Talking to John Ireland, Lakers play-by-play voice. You can hear John later today on Mason and Ireland, of course, here on 710 AM in L.A. Now, you have seen, you just mentioned it, Kareem, another guy who doesn't get enough mention as the greatest ever, right?
Right.
College and pros. You've seen Kareem. You've seen Shaq. You've seen two of the greatest bigs, you could argue one and two, or certainly top five of all time. You've seen Magic, and you've seen Kobe, point guard and wing, killer, like two of the greatest of all time. And now you're looking at LeBron, and you're putting LeBron in your experience of watching them. And LeBron is 36, ahead of Kobe, Magic, Kareem, and Shaq?
Well, in this regard, Max, I'll put him ahead of those guys. He may not be, he may not be a better offensive player than Kobe.
Scorer,
right, you know, just flat score. He may not be the absolute unstoppable dominant force that Shaq was. LeBron doesn't have a skyhook. But the whole package, what you get with LeBron, the passing, the scoring, the defense. Max, I'm going to make a statement here that if you think about it, I don't know how you can challenge it. I think LeBron is the greatest open court player in the history of the NBA. In other words, if your defense isn't set and LeBron gets the ball and takes off for the rim, you know, Russell Westbrook is very good at this. Derrick Rose, when he was younger, was very good at it. But LeBron is like a freight train going downhill, and he goes right to the rim, and I've seen him do it 1,000 times. He'll take the whole defense on, 1-on-4, and you can't stop him. He either scores or gets a foul. So he's the greatest open court player among all those guys you listed. And I think when he's done his career in totality, you're going to be able to put him ahead of all those guys you talked about. And that's an incredible accomplishment because all those guys you talked about were first ballot, no doubt, Hall of Fame guys.
You know what's amazing about LeBron, too? You know, I do this thing where I think, where I say, like, so-and-so is if this player and that player had a baby. Like, Patrick Mahomes is Favre and Aaron Rodgers had a baby. LeBron is Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan had a baby.
Right.
You know, like, he right, in the open court, he's Michael Jordan. He can play above the rim like that and everything, and he can shoot from the outside. Oh, and by the way, he's in the conversation as greatest passer of all time. Now, he's playing with Anthony Davis, right?
Right.
And they got the W without AD just now. Are you concerned with a sore Achilles?
I'm not. I'm told by several different people that AD sitting out last night was more precautionary than anything else. It is sore. I don't know when he's going to come back. They've listed him as day-to-day. But, Max, I watched him warm up last night for about 40 minutes on the court, and he looks fine. I think the Lakers, and they're smart to do this, are playing it safe. Because with those two guys, I don't think anybody can beat them. If one of those guys were to go down, they become human. Right now, they're superhuman. And the different, like, you know, I was just thinking when you were describing, you know, all the things that LeBron does. If you think about LeBron's most famous play, all right, ever,
yeah,
isn't it probably the block on Iguodala the year
the finals,
they knocked
yeah.
Golden State out of the finals? Do any of the other guys we're talking about make that play? Maybe Jordan,
yeah,
but he doesn't have that on his signature highlight reel. And because LeBron and AD, to go back to your last question, because they can switch and guard all five positions, they're not only an unstoppable offensive force, but it allows Frank Vogel, who loves to coach defense, the ability to switch everything. If you want to put AD in a pick and roll, he can guard the other team's guards.
Yeah, it's insane. By the way, no, AD, this is serious. Garnett could kind of do it a little bit. I've seen AD pretty much guard both players on a pick and roll.
Like, I've seen LeBron do it too.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
There was a game last year in the bubble against the Clippers, and on one possession with the game on the line, LeBron guarded Kawhi, and when they put him in a switch, he guarded Paul George and stopped both of them.
That's right. I know. I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah, all right,
it's
so
just ridiculous.
John, by the way, you'll appreciate this. We have coming up Hall of Fame inductee Tom Flores, one of the one of this country's all-time
this
great
is long time
winners.
Coming. Long yeah, like, time coming, Max.
No, he won a Super Bowl. He was a player on a Super Bowl championship team. He was an assistant coach and as a head coach. Two Super Bowl championships for the same franchise in two different cities. One of the most successful NFL people ever. John Ireland joined us on the Goodyear Hotline. Thanks a million, John. Look forward to listening to you. Coming up with Mace, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear more driven. All right, so Tom Flores coming right up on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. It's time for some straight talk. Your tax return could look different this year, but you're still going to hear a lot of noise about how to spend it. So when the big carriers tell you to splurge on the latest nonsense, just tune it out. With Straight Talk, you can get a Samsung Galaxy A51 for just $199. Plus, get the $45 unlimited talk, text, and data plan with no contract on America's best networks for up to 50% less. Tune out the nonsense and tune in to Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Tom Flores coming up.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80 and on your smart speaker. More impressed with LeBron or Brady's rings? Hit me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. You know what? While we're waiting for Tom Flores, newest member of the NFL Hall of Fame. Well, of the Football Hall of Fame. He's an inductee this year. Let's talk to Mitch from New Jersey. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
How you doing, Max?
Rich,
I gotta give it to LeBron being the best savvy basketball, and what he has done to get his teams to championships. He's taking less caliber players to the not to win at all. At least get to the finals.
I agree. LeBron took one of the worst teams ever to the finals in the 07 Cavs. The fact that he lost is meaningless. It's amazing that they got there. He took a team six games against the Warriors, Steph, Clay, and Dre Warriors, and he did not have Kyrie or Kevin Love for most of that series. They were both hurt. His second-best player looked like Matthew Dellavedova. Right, he was the guy you remember from that series. They took him six games. I'm here to tell you, had LeBron had Kyrie and Kevin Love, he surely would have won that series. I don't hold that against him. I don't hold either loss to the Warriors against him when they had KD, because when you add an MVP-caliber player to a 73-win team, no team in history is going to beat them. Doesn't count against LeBron. And he beat the 73-win Warrior team, right? Like, he's got a lot of good, very little to take away. I will say, fully crewed up in Miami, he won two chips and lost two. Now, he made four finals. That's amazing. But he did lose two on relatively evenly matched teams. And the only thing that's, you know, that stops me from putting him ahead of Jordan is I cannot imagine Jordan losing under those circumstances. In fact, Jordan never even got taken seven games in the finals under those circumstances. Diego from Illinois, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Oh, okay. We're not going to do calls right now because we're awaiting the newest inductee to the, or at least an inductee from the latest Hall of Fame class, Tom Flores. Oh, we're going to go back to Diego from Illinois. What's up, Diego? You're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hello, Max. I was just calling to see, what are your thoughts on Tom Brady? Do you think he's like the ultimate GOAT yet, or what do you think he needs to do to be the best
male
athlete?
He's doing everything he can. Like, you know, by the way, there's a good shot he wins an eighth ring. He's starting to get to Bill Russell territory, but instead of doing it in a league where Bill Russell had a team that was just so much better than everyone else's, and it was not a very competitive league compared to the modern NBA, right? There are many fewer teams, no international players and all that. Brady is putting up Bill Russell championship numbers almost in an era that is set up to stop dynasties from even happening. He's been absolutely amazing. And that's why he's on a short list. Like, you want to say the greatest leader in American sports history? It's either Brady or Bill Russell. You want to say greatest athlete? He's in the conversation. As Kendrick Perkins would say, he's at the table. Jordan's at the head of the table, but he's at the table. Ryan from Virginia, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max. You know, I just want to point out one thing between, you know, this GOAT talk in football and basketball and other sports. Man, in football, I feel like it's so much different because you don't play both sides of the ball. You're only playing one side of the ball. You know, Jordan, LeBron in basketball, you got Wayne Gretzky in hockey, even guys like Ronaldo and Messi in soccer. Like, you're not playing both sides of the ball. And I feel like, in my opinion, I just can't put Brady in the GOAT talk for athletes of
all
time because
I hear what you're saying. Here's the thing, Ryan. We correlate, and because it's hard to isolate value, especially in football, I think. So we use correlation, you know, like how many championships when this guy. So Gretzky to me is not in the conversation because at his height, he played hockey like better than anyone, right? And he won four championships when he was with Messier. And he was on a lot of good teams after that, after Edmonton, but never won the championship again. Messier won the championship after he left Gretzky. So how you see what I mean? Like when you start, and it may be unfair, but that's how we do it. You're right, Brady doesn't play defense. You know, Mahomes can't block and catch passes either. As, you know, but I don't think it's coincidental that Brady's played in the league for 20 years and half the time he's gone to the Super Bowl. And he did it at first on defensive teams with running games. And then he did it where he was expected to, where he had great offensive players around him and it's the offense that was the story. And then he did it where he was expected to carry the offensive load for a team without as many offensive weapons. And then he switched teams and did it again in a new place. A lot of teams played this season, a lot of loaded teams, but Brady's team won the Super Bowl. So I don't think that is coincidental. It may not exactly be causal, but that correlation is I think, the best we got in terms of determining this stuff. And Brady's the GOAT as a result, the football GOAT. By the way, you like home runs? Baseball is about to make some changes to the game, but are they the right changes? The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, with insurance for cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. You dig the long ball? Well, expect to see lots less of them. Hit me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because yeah. I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's last take.
Major League Baseball is set to change baseballs because players are hitting too many home runs. After years of fielding questions about home run rates and variations in its baseballs, Major League Baseball informed its 30 teams in a memorandum on Friday to changes to the balls, how they're going to be for the 2021 season. Chief among the differences will be a slightly reduced weight and slightly decreased bounciness, the latter of which could reduce home runs. Because it's all, you know, it's all three outcomes nowadays, the three true outcomes, strikeout, walk, or home run. And I got to say, I ruined baseball. This is all my fault. I, and people like me, for decades, espousing Bill James theories and, you know, wanting to change, telling GMs to smarten up. It's ruined the game. You know what I wouldn't do to see Ozzie Smith make a play at shortstop or Ricky Henderson steal third base? Little hit and run action, little drag bunt, suicide squeeze. oh, that was the best time of baseball. Like the 80s was, it was, things were kind of normal. You lead the league with 48 home runs. It was a great home run year. Mike Schmidt would do it, or, you know, someone like that. That would be a great home run year. You have 118, 120 ribbies. No one could believe it. Pitchers, you know, started 35 games and pitched 220-plus innings. No more. The game has changed. And really the issue is, like, it is sabermetrics. It's analytics. The most efficient form of baseball is not the best consumer product. By the way, the highest level of fighting is also not consumer friendly. The UFC, MMA made changes to the rules because fans didn't want to see grappling for 40 straight minutes. They had to change the rules to get a better consumer product, and baseball's trying it now. In the late 90s, Brian Kenny and I used to talk about this. We were working Friday Night Fights together on ESPN2. And by the way, I'm not exaggerating, I'm not being hyperbolic, and I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you, I could have walked off the street into any major league front office. I'd have been a top five GM day one. These GMs didn't understand anything that fans who played Strat-O-Matic in the 70s knew. Like, literally. Didn't know anything. Brian Kenny and I used to sit around being like, why don't they trade for this guy or that guy or that guy? All the Red Sox did when they hired Bill James and Theo Epstein is do that. Kevin Millar's getting on a plane to Japan. Why? He can hit. We'll give him Pierre. Kevin Millar, will you take peanuts to hit on the Red Sox? Yeah, sure. Remember that? They brought in Bill Miller and Todd Walker and all these like players who weren't perfect. So other teams, well, they don't charge the bunt well enough. Yeah, but they get on base and they hit home runs and stuff. At any rate, all the analytics have turned baseball into a less consumer-friendly sport. And the league is doing something about it, and I don't blame them. Alec from New York, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
I just want to give you a couple facts about Wayne Gretzky and why I think he deserves to be at this goat of all goats table. If Wayne Gretzky never scored a single goal, he would be the all-time points leader in the NHL. And fact number two, he's also the all-time goal scorer.
I get it, but it's kind of like Hank Aaron. If Hank Aaron never hit a home run, not that you turned his home runs into singles, but take away all the home runs, those plate appearances never occurred, Hank Aaron would be a first ballot Hall of Famer because he had 3,000 hits that weren't home runs, and that's the all-time home run leader. And he was insanely great. But Hank Aaron is generally not talked about as the greatest of all time. And Wayne Gretzky, the issue for me is not his level of greatness. The issue for me is that he never won the championship when he left Edmonton, when he left Messier, really. But Messier did. It's a bad look. And it may not prove anything, but correlation in this case to championships is when you're splitting hairs among the greatest of the greatest in every sport, it's going to be a deciding factor for most fans. Paul in L.A., you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, appreciate the platform to let us regular guys get to speak sports on here. Just going to the Brady not playing defense argument, I think that's the most irrelevant argument of all time. If that's the case, boxers were really the only ones that have the argument because they're the only ones that play total defense and total offense. Yeah, all right. The time. That's my point.
Well, listen, you're right. Brady can't help the sport he plays. You know, by the way, Mahomes couldn't catch passes and block for himself either, and he lost the Super Bowl, right? Brady can only do what he's tasked to do, and that's play quarterback and lead. And in 20 years, he's made 10 Super Bowls and won 7. And the advantage he really has, leadership attributes, better decision-making than everyone else. He has a strong, accurate arm, but there are stronger and more accurate arms. He processes information more quickly. He's better prepared, and he has greater leadership ability. And by the way, and also he's been lucky, of course. Luck plays into it. But, you know, in the end, we're not going to simulate 1,000 lifetimes to find out how, in a different situation, how this is the life we live. And so the evidence we have is the evidence is that's what happened, and you got to make a choice based on that. Brady wins. Tom from Ohio, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yeah, I was going to talk about the lack of black head coaches and no black owners. Mm-hmm. I just agree. I think Eric Bieniemy and Byron Leftwich should be a coach. Mm-hmm. And do you think the no black owners is more about money than racism. Thank you.
Well, I think, but those two things are tied together. You can't amass huge pools of capital enough to buy a team when you are yourself property. And after slavery, there was Reconstruction, and then there was Jim Crow, right? I mean, unless you believe black people are intrinsically inferior at making money, which is an absurd and racist point of view, then you know that the reason per capita there's less income and fewer black billionaires, et cetera, is because of this country's history. So racism is tied to the issue of capital here. Just you know, listen, we can get into more of this tomorrow. I'm running out of time. Shanae and Golic Jr. are coming right up. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.